Thank you, girls. Thank you for coming. Thank you for serving. Thank you for glorifying the Lord. There's rumors going around here that we had a bear visiting our campus. Any relation to you, buddy? That's what I heard, that they got him on pictures of him or something. And so if he shows up for the service, welcome him, will you? He may need to get saved. And we may need to get saved from him. It's good to have each and every one of you today. Praise the Lord. I want you to take your Bibles again in the life of David, that great man that God used and yet run into so many difficulties in his life. Chapter 27 of the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 27, and we will be looking there at chapter 27 and some thoughts on 28 and 29 and 30 in the next couple lessons here. The price of making wrong decisions. That's exactly what we have here in chapter 27. The price of making wrong decisions. When spiritual people make unscriptural or unspiritual decisions, your life will become one of carnality, one of confusion. And this is the case with David. He's a man after God's own heart, but he is a man also now facing some serious situations because of some choices, some decisions that he made. I want you to notice as we begin in verse 1 here, I want you to notice some thoughts. First of all, he listened to the wrong person. Did you ever see advice from the wrong person? How many of you ever got some advice from the wrong person? Everyone. Because you are that person that you get the wrong advice from often in life. Look at verse 1. And it said, "And David said in his heart, I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul." You see, the person who himself, it was himself that he listened to. I thought of that word heart. That's the place of feelings. You know, I love my wife. She is here today, of course, with me, and I don't call her sweethead. I call her what? Sweetheart. That's a place of feelings. But we have to be careful with our feelings. A lot of time we go over to the book of, and I'll read it to you, and Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Unless that heart is under the control of God, you'll realize you're going to make some wrong decisions. You see, the heart of the problem David had, and that you and I have often, is the problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Let me just have you leave that for a moment and go with me to the book of Proverbs. And I want you to just turn there to Proverbs in the 4th chapter with me, if you will, please. And as we look at that, I want you to notice the heart must be guarded against a takeover. You know, I've turned my TV on. If there isn't, you realize that the liberals, the left-wing people wanting to take our country over, that's bad enough, but to have your heart taken over by your flesh, by your sin nature, is a terrible catastrophe. That's why in Proverbs chapter 4, he says in verse 23, get these verses, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Out of it come the things that are really going to matter, come from your heart. So you need to guard the heart. Now the word "keep" here can be translated "guard." And the word "diligence" is from the same Hebrew, "guard." In other words, God's saying, double the guard. Double the guard, because your heart must be guarded against a takeover, because your flesh, the world, and the devil is doing all that it can to take over your life. The heart must not only be guarded against a takeover, it must be guided by trust in the right person. Look there, you're in Proverbs, so look there, chapter 3. You're not too far away, obviously, from it. The next chapter before that, chapter 4. Turn there, if you will, to chapter 3. Turn there and look with me. Your heart must be not only guarded against a takeover, but it must be guided by trust in the right person. And may I say to you, you're not the right person. It's got to be God. I remember when I was raising my children, my son said to me one day, he said, "Now, Dad, I want to date this girl, and what do you think?" And I said, "Well, I'll lay down some rules for you." And I laid down some rules, and he asked me the ultimate question. He said, "Dad, you act like you don't trust me." I said, "Do you have any other stupid questions?" Because I happen to know we all have sin natures. Amen? There's not only a takeover, we must be guided by the right person. And that right person is not you and me. The right person is God, the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed Spirit of God. Look here in verse 5 of chapter 3. Let's read those two verses and then go back and make a comment. Trust in the Lord with all thy what? Heart. See, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I break this verse down in three areas. First of all, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And I want to say to you today, he's got to have it all. You can't be half-hearted about something. Yeah, got to give it all to him. That's total dependence upon him. Then he makes another statement here. And lean not into thy own understanding. You know what you need to do and I need to do on a regular basis? We need to have a funeral service, a personal service, where we die to self. The last time I checked, dead people have no plans for the future. They'd all leave it up to God. And you have no plans for the future if you die to self and let God take over. So you need to depend upon him, and you certainly need to die to yourself. And he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. You need to let him make those decisions. And what? He'll direct your paths. He'll direct your paths. Don't lean into your understanding. You don't turn your heart over to him. The heart must be guarded and the heart must be guided by the one that you can trust. And that is only God. We're living in a very evil times. You can't seem to trust, certainly can't seem to trust Washington, can you? Can't trust a lot, but you can't really trust yourself without God's help. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The heart must be guarded against a takeover, and it must be guided by trust in the right person, and you are not the right person, only God is. And the heart, thirdly, must be grounded in the truth of his word. Turn to Psalm. The longest chapter of the Bible is Psalm 119. And I want you to turn there for a moment or two. We're not going to spend much time in that. But look there in chapter 119 in verse 9, 10, and 11. Because here he's pointing out that the heart must not only be guarded against a takeover, must be guided by trust in the right person, but the heart must be grounded in the truth of God's word. Look at verse 9, 10, and 11. I suggest you highlight there these verses. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to the word of God. You see, the word of God will cleanse you from your sin. It'll cleanse you from your sin. Have you been washed lately as a Christian even by the word of God and cleanse you? You know, when I read the word of God, for some reason, God has this habit of pointing out things I need to take care of. And I need to be cleansed from them, and I need to correct them in my life. But the word of God here does not only just cleanse you in your sin, but it convicts you of further sin. Look there in verse 10. Where with my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord? Verse 10. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. That's the future. Not only will he cleanse you from your presence, he'll convict you of further sin. He'll tell you, be careful with these things. And then thirdly, in verse 11, the word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. It will convince you not to sin. It will not only cleanse you and not only convict you, but it will convince you not to sin. Only the Bible can do that, folks. Are you listening? Only the Bible can do that. That's why you've got to get it off the pages of Scripture. That's why you have Bible memory work. When I get tempted and when I get down and I get depressed, I can either let my depression or my sin take over, whatever it may be, or I can let God's Word take over. I prefer to let His Word take over. And when I concentrate on that and quote that to myself, all of a sudden, I want to tell you, that depression and that sin just takes off. It exits. It leaves. And so we see, he listened to the wrong person. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. But I see not only the heart here he listened to. I noticed the hand of God. He didn't listen to the hand of God. The hand of God is greater than the hands of Saul. Look at verse 1 again. Go back to our passage. He deals not only with the heart, but with the hand of God. He said, and David said into his heart, I shall now perish one day by what? The hand of Saul. Let's get this, folks. You're going to have some Sauls in your life. You're going to have some Sauls that will try to destroy your life. It's called the sin nature. It's called the devil. It's called the world. I want to tell you, you got Sauls in your life. I have Sauls in my life. It's out to destroy me. And he made a false statement here. He said, one day by the hand of Saul, I'll perish by his hand. The answer is no, you won't, David. You know why? Because the hand of God is greater than the hand of the Sauls in your life. The hand of God can whip any Sauls you have in your life. Any confrontation, they will be defeated if you let him handle them for you. Psalm 31, verse 15. You might want to note that. He said, my time, referring to God, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. I like that. Let me read it to you again. Because here was Saul. He said, one day the hand of Saul will do me in. And God says, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies, because your hand is greater than all my enemies. Say amen to that. He listened to the wrong person. He made the wrong decision because he listened to the wrong person, himself. I don't know how many times in my counseling sessions down through the years I've had people come to me. I love it when they come to me and they already got their mind made up what they're going to do. But they expect to hear from me, and I've had them on more than one occasion says, I thought that's what you'd say. I'm just quoting Scripture to them. But they have their mind made up because they were too busy listening to themselves, who is the wrong person, and ignored totally what God had to say. And because of that, they make wrong decisions. They make them in marriage. They'll make them in job employments, moving, you name it. I've seen it so many times. I remember a fellow came to me one time, one of my members of the church in California, and he said to me, he said, preacher, we're moving. I said, well, we're going to miss you. Bless your heart. You're such an asset here to the ministry. I said, where you moving? He told me. I said, well, I'm sure you. I said, what church did you find? Or church? You know, I forgot to check. He moved there. There was no church in the area that he could really grow in. And his kids finally their lives just fell apart. You know, I made the wrong decision. Because money was more important to him than his children. God help us in our decision making. He not only listened to the wrong person, but he lost his most valuable assets. And I want you to know today, you've got three assets that I want to speak out for a few moments here and think about them. You know there's three assets, valuable assets you have. I have this morning. Don't you dare lose them. He lost his fellowship with God. That is a very valuable asset. When you look to chapter 28 or chapter 29 or chapter 30 or chapter 28 and 29 particularly, you find no prayer offered, No praise. He had lost his joy. No psalms written during this particular time. He wrote many psalms. Remember when he was in the cave, we talked the psalms that he had written. No promises of God remembered. None whatsoever. And the devil had a hold of him. It's a tragedy. And he lost his fellowship with God. He no praise, no prayer, no psalms, no promises of God. There's not one promise of God, not wrote one psalm. Do you have joy this morning? No prayer. You know, you made us make a big distinction between joy and happiness. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to, I think I wrote the wrong one down. John 11. Let's try it. Turn to John 11 or wherever you want to turn to for just a moment. And look with me, if you will, please, there in that chapter. And look at verse 11 and verse 12. I think I wrote the wrong chapter. That's my problem. Try John 15. Hey, we're going to find it. I'm not moving. We're going to get it down. I don't care if the bear comes in. Doesn't bother me any. We're going to get it down. Chapter 15, I apologize. You know what he says in verse 11 and verse 12? And I want you to get these two verses. In verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Now, he's talking about the gift of joy. You know where it is? It's from God. You can have happiness. I could write out a check, which I don't have, but if I wrote out a check for $5,000 and handed it to you, I have a feeling you wouldn't say, oh, this is terrible. You know why? Because that's happenings. Until you cash the check, you've lost your happiness when you do that. Joy's not that way. Are you listening? It's a divine gift from God for God's people who are dependent and right with Him. In verse 11, we find a gift of joy from God to us. Now get this. In verse 12, you find love, which is a gift from us to others. One is a gift from God to us. The other is a gift from us to, you know, we love one another. Amen? But if you don't have joy, you won't show that love. We're getting into the Christmas season. How many remember Scrooge? We've all no doubt seen Scrooge because of the movie there. When he had no joy, had no happiness, had no, he couldn't, guess what? He didn't want to give anybody anything. But I want to tell you something. When you have that divine gift from God, which is far greater than that on the movie, guess what? You begin to love other people like you've never loved them before. David had lost his praise. He lost his prayer life. It just was all gone. See, he lost his fellowship with God. There is absolutely no indication in that chapter that he was walking with God. Made his own decisions. That's the most valuable gift, to have fellowship with God. And there are times in my life I've had to say, Lord, heaven seems like brass and earth seems like iron. Would you point out to me what's wrong? And you know, before I could even say those words, he always points them out to me to take care of. Sometimes it's big things. Sometimes it's little tiny things. But in God's eyes, they're all big because it's interrupted that fellowship. Second gift, he lost his freedom. That's a second valuable gift that God gives you. He not only gives you fellowship, but he gives you freedom. Drop down there. Go back to our passage there in chapter 27, if you will, please. Go down to verse 6, if you will, please. Drop down there for a moment. And look there, verse 6. Then Achish gave him Ziglag that day, wherefore Ziglag pertained unto the kings of Judah and to this day. You know the word Ziglag? It comes from a word mean to be bent. And David was bent away from God. And he became, listen to me, he became a slave to his own decisions. And that's a tragedy when you make the wrong decisions and you become a slave to the wrong decisions. of your life. I've seen it happen so many times. I've seen it in people getting married. I've seen it in people, all kinds of decisions we make. We become a slave because we made the wrong decision. He became bent towards away from God, pardon me. So he lost his freedom. Isn't it great to be free today? I mean, when you're right with God, you're free. If you're not, pardon my grammar, you ain't right with God. And you lose your freedom, and you lose your fellowship. And thirdly, you lose your faith. Look over there again. Go back up there and look in verse 3 of chapter 26. And David dwelt with Achish. The word dwelt is an interesting word here. It literally means that he became to feel at home with the enemy. Boy, that's a tragedy when you feel at home with the enemy. He lost his faith. He couldn't do anything right before God. Turn with me to an illustration of that, to the book of Luke in the New Testament. Turn with me to the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. In chapter 8 and verse 22 to 25, we find Jesus stilling the waves, a storm. And let me tell you the story, then watch the profound statement our Lord made here, asked the question. But let's deal with the story first. I want you to notice here the storm they faced, because I want you to know something, folks. You faced storm. David was facing a storm. He says in verse 22, and it came to pass on a certain day that he went to a ship with the disciples and said to them, let us go over on the other side of the lake. And they launched for it, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind upon the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And that's not the game show on TV. In jeopardy. And so we see the storm they face, but I want you to notice something. This is very profound to me. I want you to see the Savior asleep. You know, Jesus as a human being in that ship was asleep. But as God, he was wide awake. Because God never sleeps. God never sleeps. God never sleeps. Why do we live as though at times he does not hear us because we act like he's asleep? God is wide awake. The storm we faced, the Savior was asleep, but God is always awake. That's what we call the hypostatic union. I can't explain it. He's God, he's man. I can't explain all that. I'm just glad he's God as well as man, and man as well as God to die for my sin. And then I want you to notice, not only do we see the stillness of the waves, we find here, and he found here in verse 23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and they came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came and he said, Master, Master, we perished. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calmness. Now that's what God wants to do with all of us today. He wants to calm us when our troubles, we're going through it. I see that he not only the storms they faced, the Savior that fell asleep, but the stillness of the water. I have a feeling those waters just look like glass. This is calm as can be. And then, would you look at verse 25? I want to ask you a question. Maybe I'm the only one here. How many of you keep losing things? Would you raise your hand with me and admit that sin? I just losing them all the time. Marilyn says, honey, I say, Marilyn, where's my keys? She says, I don't know. Where'd you put them last? I love it when she says, where did I put them last? If I remembered where I put them last, then I wouldn't be asking the question, where are my keys? And I'm just losing. I lost a hearing aid, and you folks helped me with that, and I thank you so much for that. I'm just constantly and he says in verse 25, he said in them, I've highlighted these, where is your faith? They lost their faith. I want to tell you something. When you lose something that valuable, you better go back and find it. You better go back and get that back, because you're going to need your faith to get through this life. And I think I told a story one time. I couldn't find my glasses. I just couldn't find them. That's before I had eye surgery done. And I went everywhere. And then finally, I got so upset because Marilyn was in her art room doing artwork, and I'm out here suffering because I can't find my glasses. And I yelled, Marilyn, come out here and help me. She came out. She said, what do you want? I can't find my glasses. She said, well, look on your face because that's where they are. Hello? Anybody ever hear any dumb thing like that? Don't raise your hand, stupid. But when you lose your faith, you better go after it. You better get it back. And when you get it back, hang on to it. Don't let it go again. Go back to our text. Because he not only listened to the wrong person, he lost those three valuable assets, his fellowship, his freedom, and his faith. But he lived too long outside the will of God. Look there, going back there in verse 7. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Underline that. If you're out of the will of God for 1 second, listen to me, that's too long. But David is out for 16 months. He stayed too long there. And you may be in this service this morning and you may be out of fellowship with God. Your faith is not what it used to be. You've lost it. Your freedom is gone. Your light, you've lost your joy. Don't you dare leave here without getting it back. He not only stayed too long, he strayed too far. Look at verse 8. And David and his men went up and invaded the Gershites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites and the Electrolytes and all those other lights or whatever you want to say. And you find here that he stayed too long. And look there at verse 12. And David became so much like the enemies that he one time anguishes. That's Gath. Remember Goliath? Now he's friends with him. He stayed too long and he strayed too long. And the Bible says, verse 12, and Achish believed David, saying, he had made his people, Israel, utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. You see, you stayed too long and he strayed. He lost his fellowship, his freedom, his faith, and now he's lost his testimony. Wow. They said, man, he's just like one of us. He's not any different. He just lives like we do. You see, when you stay too long, you stray too far. Don't stay 1 minute longer today out of fellowship with God. Don't do it. The longer you stay, the longer you will stray from God, and the farther you will stray from God. He not only stayed and strayed, but he made himself a friend of the enemy. Go to chapter 28. Look at verse 1, 2, and 3. Again, I've highlighted these verses. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered themselves armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. That's the place where David should have been. And with them on their side and not upon the enemy's side. And David, and Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said, look these words, surely thou knowest what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of my head forever. You know what happened? He made himself, he not only stayed too long, strayed too far, but he made himself a friend of the enemy. I want you to notice something here. I want you to go into the New Testament for just a moment, and I want you to go to the book of James. I could just quote it to you, but I want you to look at it. I want you to think about the book of James here, and I want you to think about this passage. So go to James for a moment, then chapter 4, if you will, please. James 4. And look with me at verse 4, just one verse. James 4, verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now get these other words. Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is what? The enemy of God. Those are profound words. Ye, as a Christian, because you become, the world now has become, got a hold of you, now you have become the enemy of God as a Christian. That's what David did. Don't do that. You see, he strayed, he made himself of the friend of the world. And you become God's enemies. But I'm so happy to say to you as we close here this morning, he did listen to the wrong person. He lost his three most valuable assets. And he lived too long, strayed too long, and made friends with the wrong people. But I'm glad he was loved by the Lord. Whew. You know, if you read chapter 29, go back to our passage there for a moment. If you just jump ahead and go to chapter 29, it's all the same story, really. And we find the Philistines gathered them together, all their armies, to Aphek, verse 1. The Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the Lord of the Philistines passed by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on the rearward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews here? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is not David the servant of Saul, the king of Israel? Is not this David the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with these days of the years? And I found him no fault in him since he fell to me this day. I will tell you something. God loved David enough that he laid on the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Amen? And he laid upon those who served with the king of Achish to remove David. Now God did that. God said, you know, I got to get David out of here. David won't go himself. David won't do this himself. And so God did a wonderful thing. David became a man without a country. The Israelites didn't want him. The enemy didn't want him. I want to tell you something. If you're backslidden today, you're the most miserable person on this planet. You say, I thought an unsaved person is miserable. No, no. They always got the world. But a Christian who is backslidden, the world he doesn't enjoy, and the Christian life, he's miserable. You got to make a choice. We got to make a choice. And sometimes God works it out because he knows we are hardened in our hearts as David was, and God said, I can't get him out of here, or David won't get himself out of the Philistine, I'll do it. As I look back in my life, more than once in my years of being saved, God's got me out of some scrapes that I refused to get out of it myself, but God got me out of it. Maybe today you're straddling the fence. You ever straddle the fence? Keep in mind something. Who owns the fence? The devil. He'll let you straddle it, but God wants you to get on out of that fence and make the right decision this morning. David, I love you so much, I'll take care of you. You know what God did? Again, turn in the New Testament to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You know, I was raised, I think you've heard me say this more once, I was raised very poorly. My mama had to raise three boys, oftentimes by herself. But my mama beat the tar out of us. Now, it's a crime today in our society to spank your children according to the government. But I want to tell you something. God still believes in spanking. And when I come to chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, God has spanked me more often than I can think of here. Look over here, if you will, please, in Hebrews 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He punishes. He gets you back in line. And scourges. You know what that word scourges means? means he gives you a whipping. Mom used to give me a Board of Education on the seat of knowledge. And God can do it his way too. When we get out of line from him, he can just come along. You know why he chastises you? Because he loves you. I never believed once my mother loved me when she'd whip me. Later I learned that. I never looked up and said, Mama, thank you. Do it again. Do it again, Mom. That's so feel so oh, do it again. I wanna do right. But God loved me enough. He chastises us. You and two. And then I come to go back to our passage, but go over to chapter 30. The same story is on. And look at verse 7 and verse 8. David is in trouble. You know what God did? He said, you did that. I told you to get out of here. You wouldn't do it. I'll get you out of here. God worked to get him out of there, and they found out when he went back to where all of his family was. Guess what? They were all taken prisoner by an evil people other than the Philistines. And David is broken. They're ready to stone him. And here's what we find here. Remember chapter 27, chapter 28, chapter 29, 30. David has not prayed till you come here. And verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, verse 7 of chapter 30, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought him the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop that had taken his family, by the way? Shall overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Hallelujah. What a day that would be when David talked to God and God answered him. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. That ought to make it Pentecostal. It excited because God heard his prayer. And David hadn't prayed for so long. And God will hear your prayer. If it's sincere, he'll hear your prayer. Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed.